At the 8:30 service this morning, Tim Stemple was doing that service, and he asked some questions. And one of them was, how many of you in the past year have had a major assault where you had to fight to even believe that revival is ever going to come, especially through the prayer center? And my hand, along with most people's hands, went up. And then he asked some other questions along in there, see? Now, one of the main principles of faith, I turn to a place you've never been before at any service I know, Mark 11. Mark 11. Because whether we're teaching on finances, whether you're battling for health, whether you're battling for revival, whether you're standing for lost loved ones, which is really what this service is mostly about, you know, calling in the lost, whether you're standing for wayward children, I don't care what it is that you are standing on, your job is to believe it, and the devil's job is to make you doubt it. And the one who wins that battle is going to win that war. Now, where most people get condemned, and that was a big part of the message too, they get condemned that they're in a war. In other words, the fact that you doubt it all, that you have to even battle. Listen, if it wasn't for that, the devil would be dead. Hallelujah. Next, or in hell, for, you know, it won't be, you know, won't be around in the next. I'm glad the next world is not going to be like this one. I mean, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, no more tears, no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. But while we're on this earth, we're going to have to contend with him. And it's always the same, people. That's the thing. If you learn how this works in one area, but it doesn't come naturally. I know a lot of people that are really good at, like, receiving their healing. I mean, they can get attacked with healing. I think about Barbara Mikofsky. My Lord, how many times has she already won over cancer? Time after time, you know, the doctors say, this is it. Now, this time, you're really going to die. Now, he didn't kill you last time, but this time, you're really going to die, you know. And she'd overcome it again and do really good for a couple of years, and then here he comes again, you know. But then, I know a lot of people like that maybe they're real good in one area, like healing, but they never can get their needs met. They never can get their bills paid. Or they're always having trouble financially, always seem to be struggling. Other people, they just seems like, man, when it comes to money, they just believe God, trust God, they just win that war all the time, but they're always chronically fighting something physically, you know. Then others, they might be okay in both of those areas, but they're children, you know. They just, man, believing for these children, okay? Well, faith is faith. It's the same in every arena of life. And really, if you can learn how to win in one arena, really you can transfer that over and learn to win in all. But it's the same principles in each case. So let's look at the foundational principles of faith here again. Mark 11, starting in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, we want to do that, don't we? I think that's a good thing to do. Have faith in God. And really, the best definition of that verse is have the faith of God. In today's vernacular, we'd probably say it this way. Have God's own faith. Do it the way He does it. All right? He says, for verily or truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, here it is, and shall not doubt, where? In his heart. It doesn't say a word about your head there, does it? It doesn't say a word about your head. The battlefield, people, is in the mind. That spirit man, that part of you that's born of God, the part of you that's created righteous and holy from the get-go, you might as well know this, it has no trouble believing God. It just has no trouble. But now, I have won great victories. It's not like, I mean, when you've been given 6 months to live with cancer, you better win that one. I'm telling you right now, you better win that one. Okay? And thank God that was in 1990. It's been a long 6 months. Hallelujah. You know? But I know from experience, hey, every time you go see the doctor during that, every report they give you, doubts are going to come into your mind. I mean, if you think I went through that and never battled, I mean, I had to keep battling. My mind kept wanting to say, well, you know, you better start planning a funeral, you know, just in case, and you better this and you better that. And that's all of that's in the mind, see. And I go, no, that's not what God said. Remember, I had to go back to that original prophecy that we got at our ordination back in 1986, and the last line in that says, it is a, how do you say it exactly? It is a glorious end that I have for you, my son. Dying of cancer in your 40s is not a glorious end. See, so my spirit man had to latch onto that word of God, but I'm telling you, the mind was like a battlefield. There was machine gun bullets of doubt. Every time I'd stick my head up, the enemy would try and blow my head off with a shotgun of doubt. You're going to die. Oh, man, it's a glorious end. It's a glorious end. I will live and not die. All of Norval's teaching came flooding back into me. Walking the floor. I'll live and not die. I'll stand in the congregation and declare the wonderful glories of God. Hallelujah, you know. And our friend Aaron is over here is coming out with a new book called The Confessions of a Victorious Believer. Man, that's when you need to get your confession strong. You need to start just walk the floor. Why? Are you convincing God during all that?
No.
You are fighting a war, and that war is in the mind. That's why we do these confessions week after week after week. Listen, we're not trying to convince God of nothing. In the battle of faith, what did Jesus say over and over again? According to your faith. Even the man who came to get Jesus to come pray for his daughter because she was grievously sick, and that on the way there, that's when that happened with the woman with the issue of blood. She wound up getting healed. By the time that was over, somebody brought him a report. Now, how's this a report of doubt? Don't trouble the master anymore. It's over. Your daughter's dead. Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Doubt not, only believe. Only believe. Boy, if there's a word for the church today, doubt not, only believe. Only believe. You get the word of God in your mouth. And I noticed that guy, he kept his mouth shut. And that's sometimes the best thing you can do.
Yes.
Just hold on to the word of God. Don't let your mouth agree with the enemy in any way. If you're going to open your mouth, it better be full of what did God say. I'm ready to go pray myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now the believing is done when? When you pray. Now that means the circumstances haven't changed one lick. The report is you're going to die in 6 months, or whatever it is, you know. Your children are out there in the bars and doing all kinds of manner of things they shouldn't be doing. Whatever it is, that your business looks like it's going to fail. Whatever it is. But at the moment of prayer, that's when you believe. And from then until your manifestation, the warfare is in the mind. That's what the time when the just shall live by faith, not by sight. That does not come naturally to human beings. Human beings tend to, if I see it, I believe it. And it's just the opposite in the kingdom. You got to believe it, and then you see it. Amen? All right. Well, even when it comes to revival, that's why I love that service this morning, because the way he presented it was all of God's word, every prophecy for the whole year that came in 2007. Now we've got all of these words from the Lord to the prayer center compared with, look at what you see.
True.
There's the battle right there. Yes, we have revival, we have outpouring, we have all of these things that God has said to us. Then you've got a church that's leaning in one direction, you know, the floor is kind of, you know, different parts of it slant different ways. Got a lot of empty chairs. If he's talking to whoever it is, pays the bills, I'm sure the money, it's by faith. You know, I don't know how they even keep the doors open, to be honest with you. And you've got everything that God says, and then you've got everything that your eyes can see, that your ears can hear. You know? Whose report shall you believe? Whose report, see? Over and over and over again. Now the thing of it is, here's the good news. If you've ever won one victory in any arena, you can win them all. Did you hear that? And you say, well, I don't know, Brother Gary. I've had victory in this area and I've had a victory in that area, but boy, I've never had a victory over in that area. I'm telling you again, if you've ever had victory in one area, even once, you can have it again. Because faith is the same in every arena of life. Faith is what did God say? And you base your, whether it's His written word, whether it's His rhema word to you, faith, what did He say? Whose report will you believe? Now the problem is, so often, especially when you're first born again, first learning these things, and I'll use me and not you, and that's real good for you. Nice to you. You know, when you start off, you're about 95% flesh creature, you know. You've only started the process, and especially, you know, Sue and I were saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years before we started coming to this church, so we didn't really learn very much about the value of spending a lot of time praying and fasting until then. So we were doing the best we could, and thank God for what the foundation we did have. But we were in the real estate business at the time. All of a sudden, I started having visions of grandeur. Well, I was hearing these messages, you know, about you can have what you say and what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, I started, what are you going to do? You're in the real estate business, you know. Well, you know, again, I have found my ticket to God. I mean, well, I just believe this year I'm going to close on about $5 million worth of real estate, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to buy that new car, and I'm going to give a lot to God. Yes. Kind of a secondary afterthought, you know. Yeah. Not when I'm talking to people, but really it was a secondary afterthought. It was like, oh, I'm going to give a lot to God, but oh God, I'm going to be rich. Yes. You know. So if you start off as about 95% flesh creature, and you know what's amazing? You know, God's watching you kind of like I watch Cole, you know, our 4-year-old grandson. Now, the boy, his mind, I'm telling you right now, is all about toys. Anything Legos. He loves Legos. They got Star Wars Legos, and they got all these Lego things. He just loves to get those and build them, you know. So everything, especially coming up to Christmas time, it's all, Papa, I want to tell you about something. What do you want to tell me about? Papa, I need these Legos. Now, what do you reckon he got at Christmas time? Oh yeah, he got Lego. See, and God's like that with us when we're new and young in these things. And I remember, I look back on it. He gave me a lot of toys. He really did in the early days. I remember some things that Sue and I confessed in. I'm almost kind of embarrassed now. I mean, it wasn't anything evil, but it was very much the same. Just little newborn wanting toys. But see, God's hoping that we get past the toy. See, this is fine while Cole is 4. Yeah. It won't fly so well when he's 40. No. If he's still living with mom and dad and wanting nothing but toys at age 40, we got a problem. Okay? You know? Well, I also want him to grow up. I want him to mature and, you know, put away childish things. So we're coming into, when you start coming into the arena of faith for like revival, or when you mature to the place that you'll actually come to a calling in the lost because you're really concerned about a lost cousin or a lost aunt or a lost... In other words, you're starting to really mature now because your heart is starting to really go out and search what's important for the kingdom. You're starting to become really valuable now as an intercessor, as a prayer warrior. And if you think your faith worked for toys...
Yes.
And it will. Can you imagine what God will do with your faith when you start going after people?
Yes.
Going after a city?
Yes.
Going after revival?
Hallelujah.
See, at some point, we've got to get past the place of always, again, being on the receiving side of the green line. He's trying to turn this whole group to the other side for the city to come and receive what they need to from Jesus. See? So I thank God again for the maturing process and for the understandings of this church, because faith will work in any realm, but He's trying to move us up a little bit beyond the child toy realm. And it's okay. See, yeah, but I still need a car. He'll give you one.
Yes.
He'll give you one. I don't know how. Maybe I ought to do this as a series. You ready? Boy, this is deep calleth unto deep now. Y'all ready? My counsel to you is this. Uh-huh. Treat God like He's real. No, what I mean by that is this. Cole believes in Grandpa. Cole treats Grandpa like Grandpa is real. Cole understands his source. Now, it's not just me. I mean, his mom and dad and others. But he understands that one of his sources is Grandpa and Mimi. Papa and Mimi. Now, he treats Papa and Mimi like we're real. And if he has a need, he comes.
Yes.
We were looking today in Matthew 6, you know, it says, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of.
Yes.
But then the other half of that sentence is, before you what?
Ask.
Before you ask Him.
Yep.
See, treat God like He's real. If you really need a car, so, well, are you, you know, I ask people, you know, so, well, I need a car. Or I'm just picking that. It could be anything. Well, did you ask God? And usually the answer is, well, yes. When did you ask Him? What day of the week was it? Where was you? What they generally mean by that is they've kind of thrown up a half-hearted, you know, I really would like to have this, God. But they haven't really asked Him in the sense of treating Him like He's real, like Cole would come and ask me. That's why you do it in prayer. You come, you ask. Again, I recommend, when I was, especially, I still do it to some degree, but especially in the early days, for my own benefit, for my own faith, I would keep a ring binder of what I call petitional prayer. Since we weren't allowed, and again, I'm not against this. I'm not against us, you know. It's not wrong to let, if you're in ministry, it's not wrong to let people know what you're doing, giving them the opportunity to help. You know, what, sending out appeal letters, you know, if you'd like to help us with this project, you know, you can donate. The only problem is God told us not to do it that way. So Sue and I, we've from the get-go, we've never had a choice. We've always had to make a petition, take it directly to God in prayer. I couldn't even tell you if we needed a computer or if we needed a printer or if we needed anything for the ministry or for ourselves. So there was just no choice. So to help my own faith, you know, what does it say here? What things soever you desire when you pray. Well, I would write it down. I would do my homework first. I'd see what kind of computer we needed, for example. I'd look it up, find the best prices and things, and I'd work up a page on it like I would present it to my boss back when I worked for Union Carbide, and I would make a petition, and I'd date it. Father, we need a computer. We need one that'll do at least this, like a minimum. Father, I'm asking You for it. I believe we receive it now. Thank You for it in Jesus' name. I'll never ask You again. And I'd date it, put the time on it, put it in the ring binder. That ring binder had two sections. Petitional prayer in the front, answered prayer in the back. Glory to God, you know. Now, I would never ask Him but one time. See, again, that's part of treating God like He's real. Now, just so you'll know, Cole does ask me more than once. Closer we got to Christmas, I mean, every time I saw Him, I knew he was going to hear about Legos again, you know. He'll outgrow that. He'll know that I heard Him the first time. See? But I would never ask for Him again. Once it goes in the ring binder, the petition has been made. From that point, you know, you can go over to 1 John where it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. Amen? So every day in my own personal prayer time, and I would go through the ring binder and Father, I thank you for this and I thank you for that. I thank you heard me when I prayed. Thank you for the new computer. Thank you for the new printer, whatever it was. You know, and then there's other things that aren't necessarily... Well, we're primarily talking about petitional prayer tonight. Really, there were... Thank you. There's another section. Like, we would make intercession for people. Praying for people is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. See, a computer has no will of its own. A car has no will of its own. But people do have a will. So that's a little bit different how you pray for them. But still yet, you can pray God's will for them and confess God's word over them every single day. Now, that's what we did for our daughters. And there were certain scriptures that he gave us. Like Isaiah, 49 verses 24. Let's go ahead and look at it. In case somebody in here is standing for their children. This is great verses. Isaiah 49 verses 24 and 25. Especially if you have teenage children in rebellion. These are good verses. Because we raised our children right, and here they were. You know, our daughters are 2 years apart, so they're all three teenagers at the same time. All in rebellion, all out there doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And the enemy kept defeating me, saying, look, they know better than this. They're choosing me. I have a right to them. And I didn't know how to counter that, because I knew that they did know better. Yet they were choosing him. So how do you fight that? Well, one day I don't know how I found these verses, how he got them to me, but starting in Isaiah 49, verse 24, it says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Boy, that's... If somebody is a lawful captive, that means they're guilty. And they've been captured legally. And that's exactly what the enemy was using, saying, I have a right to them. They know better than this. They're choosing to live this way. So that's the question. Can they be delivered? Well, verse 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Glory to God. Glory to God. We had our verses. We had our verses, you know. And so we would quote those verses over our children, and then not only in our confession time, but then we're very careful, just like that rich ruler. The ruler that the report came that his daughter died. What did Jesus say? Doubt not, only believe. He pretty much just kept his mouth shut, and they got his miracle. Well, a lot of times that's what you need to do. And if you do say anything at all, like, how's your daughter's doing? The tendency is, oh my God, they're out drinking and carousing and, you know, driving half drunk and, you know, on and on and on. We didn't raise them this way. You know, the tendency is to talk like that. Man, we would only say what God's Word says about them. Our daughters are the handmaiden of the Lord. They prophesy. They listen to God. They always obey the Spirit of God. On and on and on like that. Yeah, but how are they really doing? I'm telling you how they're really doing. People want dirt, you just give them the Word of God anyway. And every now and then, you gotta have a time out and go, you know, if you need to have a counseling session, it's okay to talk with your pastor or something like that. But I'm talking about your day in, day out confession. It better line up with the Word of God. And the war, you talk about the battle in the mind. I hear, tonight we're really emphasizing the doubt in the mind. This didn't happen. This wasn't over in a matter of weeks. It wasn't over in a matter of months. It was over in a matter of years. Now, this went on for a long time. If you think we went all that time without doubt in our head, I'd wake up in a cold sweat from a dream, one of them being in a car wreck and dead. The enemy planting that dream right in my brain, trying to get me to... I mean, I just wake up, just fear all over me. You know, I remember I had fear like that some on the cancer thing. I'd wake up, I'd do pretty good, and then I'd go to sleep, and I'd, you know, see myself, you know, dying. And I'd wake up and just almost in a cold sweat. Listen, the enemy is going to use every doubt, everything he can, dreams, well-meaning friends, well-meaning doctors, every cotton-picking thing in the world to assail your mind with doubt. That's where it is. And How did somebody put it, you can believe in your heart with and have victory even with a brain full of doubt. I know that's true. I've won it too many times. Now, if the job is to see if the enemy can keep you in the realm of the mind, if he can keep you over in that realm of doubt, you can lose. But if you can keep him over in the arena of faith, you'll beat him every single time. But the whole battleground is for the mind. Well, the spiritual mind has been trained not to be moved by what it sees. I told you all about the recent, and any realm is the same. Okay? Recently we had on a Friday, right up close to Christmas, as we closed the books for our little ministry, you know, on a Friday, all the bills were paid, and everybody was, you know, the salary was paid, and everything was okay. But, you know, at the end of the day, $39.97 was the balance in our international ministry account. I remember the early days. Man, again, how does Dave put that? It would be like your lower lip would be interfering with the gas pedal while you're driving. Because we've been at this a while. I mean, we've been at this more than 10 years now, you know. And so, you know, thoughts come like this, you know, in the early days. It didn't this time, but in early, God, we've obeyed you. We didn't sell nothing. We haven't sent out no appeal letters, God. We've done exactly what you told us. On and on and on. And then look at this, Lord, there's $39.97. And, you know, you could let yourself just, you know, have a real pity party about that. But we've been at this so long now. Now, I remember having to fight those wars. I have fought them before. In fact, we've had them in worse shape than that. You know. But anyway, this time, there comes a place in God. I actually had this thought. I thought, I should be worrying. Because we got bills due next week, you know, pretty big bills. And I should be worrying. Come on now. Come on. And I couldn't work it up for the life of me. I could not. I tried. Not really. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I ought to be worried about it. I was surprised myself that there was such a level of peace. Well, and then over the weekend. Now, what did you do? I didn't really do much of anything. I was kind of like that. In this case, I was just kind of like that, you know, doubt not, only believe, keep your mouth shut. Well, there was this peace there anyway, and I just didn't go into big confession or anything like that on this one. There was just such a peace that I didn't. Well, anyway, over the weekend, we received a $5,000 donation through the internet from another country. And in that country's currency, that's about a $7,000 gift. Have you heard this? You know, I know you're in back there. So I'll go ahead and finish it up. Well, to show you the kind of work that the Lord... I mean, I remember the Gary Carpenter who started this way back when. Man, my only thoughts would have been, hallelujah, glory to God, $5,000, and that would have been the end of it, you know. But he's done such a work. You know what my heart was? I was going, man, I hope he didn't just punch an extra zero by accident. And I got to checking to see, you know, this man had been on our mailing list for quite a few years. The most he'd ever given before, I think, was $300. So I'm thinking, man, this is probably... He probably accidentally put an extra zero in there. Now, because of the country he lives in, I had to stay up at 2 in the morning, our time, in order to talk to him at 6 in the evening after work, his time. And I scared him half to death. Because I'm talking to him, I've never talked to him before, and I'm saying things like, you know, we so appreciate your gift and everything, but I'm a little bit concerned. I just want to make sure you didn't accidentally put an extra zero on there. Did you actually, and I'm starting to stumble a little, did you actually intend to send, of course, part of me is really hoping he did intend to send it, you know, because we do have bills to pay. Did you really intend to send $5,000? And I could hear this sigh of relief. He said, oh, yeah, you scared me. I thought maybe I'd sent $50,000. I went ahead and asked him. I said, well, that's so much larger than any gift you've ever sent before. I said, I thought, you know, what has happened? How come? He says, oh, I've been saving up. That was his whole answer. I've been saving up, you know. Well, praise God, you know. But see, the part of it in me is that I know this maturing process. I know the guy who started here, Gary, all those years ago. And the number one thing on his heart would not have been that guy. And wanting to make sure that you know, this is what he intended and everything. And so I know that this message works. Praying in tongues changes your heart to where it conforms more to the heart of the shepherd. Where would the heart of the shepherd be? It'd always be for the sheep.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Yes, sir. Well, how important is it to doubt not in your heart? How important is it to hold fast your confession? But let me put it to you this way. The man that came for his daughter, and the report came and said, trouble the master no longer, your daughter's dead. Jesus says, doubt not, only believe. What would have happened if he would have let doubt go ahead and take over? Why is it so quiet in here? Nobody wants to answer that? He wouldn't have a daughter, that's right. Our faith makes all the difference. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. See, it's just the proof positive there, and we'll start closing it out with this one. When that father brought his epileptic son, or lunatic son, I think the Bible, King James says, the one that would throw him in the fire, throw him in the water, brought him to the disciples, and they had cast out devils before. They had done healing before. It's not like they hadn't. But I think what was going on here, the manifestations were so strong, it affected their senses. I don't know for sure, but I think that's what it was. But they did everything they'd ever done before, and the devil wouldn't come out. They just couldn't get that devil out. But see, Jesus comes, and he says, bring that boy to me. And you know the end result of that, real quickly, the boy's free. So the question comes, why didn't it happen when we prayed? Or why could not we cast it out? And he tells them plainly, because of your unbelief. Now, it's the Holy Spirit who is the hand of God. He is the finger of God. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. Another place on the same incident, he says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is really the one that yanks that devil out of somebody. Amen? You got that? So the Holy Spirit was there even when the disciples prayed for the lunatic boy. So he's there. He's got all power to rip that devil out of that kid. Something is holding him back. Something is keeping the hand of an all-powerful God from moving to deliver that boy. Jesus said, it's unbelief. Now the good news about that, see, God cannot change. God's Word cannot change. But we can change. John 6, they said, what must we do to work the works of God? This is the singular work of God, that you believe. That you believe on Him whom God has sent. That is one of the primary reasons that we gather together for calling in the lost to make these confessions. That is one of the primary reasons why you can have, when this book comes out, Confessions for a Victorious Life, LaRue has one, Framing Your World. Why it is important to spend time putting God's Word, just confessing those words and letting them run through your mind. Why? That's where the battle is. Be strong in the Lord. Let the Word of God change the way you think, so that when the battle is raging and the enemy's throwing all those doubts, it's not... See, again, Tim was to finish where we started. Tim asked the question, how many has had to fight that battle? Where the thoughts would come, revival's never coming through the prayer center, it's never going to happen. I mean, look at all the people that's left already because they lost that war right there. Well, I've had that same fight. Just because you had the fight does not mean that there's something wrong with you. It means you're worthy of being fought. It means you're worthy of being fought. The devil's trying to run you off too. Somebody's got to stand and contend until victory comes. That's us. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and contend until we have what God has said we're going to have. So I highly recommend if you have those two CDs that they sent out, and if you don't have them, Tim said you could ask for them and get them. But it's got all the prophecies that came through the prayer center in the year 2007. I'm going to put them on my iPod. I'm going to be listening to those things and listening to those things. I want what God has said flowing through my mind so that no matter what my eyes see, no matter what my ears hear, I am more convinced of what God has said than anything in the natural that the devil could throw at me. Say with me, Father,
I live by faith.
When I pray,
I believe I receive.
Right at that moment.
And what I say
shall come to pass.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.